COO Public Media would like to acknowledge the Tlane Di and the Woosh Kitan of the Akkwan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once tideland and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who maintain smokehouses on the tidelands, park their boats in the harbor, and gather driftwood for fuel. We'd also like to take a moment to say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gunalchish to Vera Starbird, who planted the idea of making it super place specific. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave additional ideas. And Ernestine Hayes, who also gave feedback. We are grateful to everyone offering guidance as we grow as an organization. Please excuse us for our mistakes and Gunalchish for your patience as we learn.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yitin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak. Gunish cheese.
You're tuned in to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guests today are here to tell us about the UAS Power and Privilege Symposium. Welcome to the show, Juliet Aldridge. Hello, Juliet.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, and Evan Gordon. Hi, Evan.
Hi.
Hi. So you're both part of the UAS Student Engagement and Leadership. Would you tell us a little bit about what you do? Juliet, let's start with you.
Sure. So I'm our Student Engagement Manager at UAS. And so we house a lot of different teams under us. I think we've got student government, clubs and organizations, the Student Activities Board, and the Whale Song newspaper kind of all sit in our house. And then I also chair the Power and Privilege Symposium Committee.
Okay, and Evan, how about yourself?
Yeah, I also work with all three of those parts of our department, the newspaper and the Student Activities Board, who basically plan all of our campus events, which this year have been largely virtual due to COVID. And the student government. I do a lot of the administrative side of things and directly work with students and supervise them because we employ a lot of student workers with our department. So it's great fun.
All right. And you're both part of this year marks the fifth Power and Privilege Symposium. And I was wondering if we could start off by hearing a little backstory. What is the symposium about and how did it come to be? Juliet, I'll start with you again. Actually, it looks like we just lost Juliet. Evan, how about you?
Sure. So this is actually my first year working as part of the Power and Privilege Symposium, and it is the fifth annual Power and Privilege here at UAS. I actually don't know much about the history of this event, but UAS, you know, is home to many different research-based fields, and also like so many dedicated scholars to these types of themes, where we found that it was just a natural place to sort of come up with an event like this, where we can invite scholars from the UAS community and beyond to submit projects and topics that they're working on that deal with themes of power and privilege in this community of Juno, where we come up with these things kind of every day. So this year will be the first virtual version of Power and Privilege Symposium. And so fifth annual, first virtual. So we're coming to it as a new collaborator. It's exciting for me to see all of the directions that our scholars are coming from. And there's just such a wide variety of topics this year, which we could get into a little bit if you'd like to.
Yes, I definitely want to ask you about that, but I wanted to just take a moment and ask you to define or explain power and privilege, those terms in this context, and why is it important to talk about those things?
Sure. Well, you know, power and privilege work through the infrastructures that we live in and work in every single day in ways that we feel very, very strongly and feel less, maybe like appear in more subtle ways. So in this case, it's a really broad use of the terms for in terms of the submissions of proposals. But it's kind of like, how do we? Oh, Juliet's back. It's looking at power as sort of the way that is exerted upon, and in what ways do we feel that power is exerted, and then privilege, be it something that you know, individuals are born with, or that exists as part of a system or a process, or you know, it can be all the way up from something political to all the way down to the microscopic, in terms of, like, we had some proposals about science and bacteria, so it's all over the map.
Thank you for that. And Juliet is back with us. Juliet, would you is there anything you'd like to add to Evan's explanation?
No, I was lucky enough to catch her full answer, and I think she did a really good job of kind of explaining that the symposium itself does a really, it's really interesting how many people submit and on what topics they submit on. And that's why we never really ever have a theme for the symposium, and it's about one topic or another. It's always kind of shaped by the voices of our community and the voices of our students who participate and how they perceive power and privilege. So I think that's one of the beautiful components of it.
I think there's two things about the symposium that are really interesting to me. One is which topics can be proposed by any member of the UAS community, kind of like what you guys were touching on already. And the symposium is scheduled as a regular part of the university's calendar. So classes don't meet that day. Everyone, it's sort of cleared out so that everyone can participate. Can you say a little bit about how that works for people? Do you get a good turnout if you cancel classes for the day? Do people come to the symposium instead of just, you know, going out to play?
Yeah, and to be clear, we don't. It's actually a non-teaching day, and so we didn't actually cancel classes. We're just taking advantage of a previous day that was already scheduled not to be taught on. And so we're kind of just taking advantage of that. And since there aren't classes, and we know students won't be there, we use that day. And so in the past, we've typically have attendance around 400 people or so. Those people come and go and are never present for all one session, with an all-day event. And this year being 2 days, we suspect people will kind of trickle into the sessions they're interested about, learning more, and kind of have a more spread out density.
All right. Well, let's talk about this year's program. What are some of the topics and who are some of the keynote speakers? Evan, I'll start with you, and then Juliet can chime in.
Oh, we have some awesome keynote speakers this year. We have Hina Le Moana Wonkalu, and she is a third gender person from Hawaii, hula teacher, just does amazing work with Pan-Polynesian cultural rights. She's a filmmaker, very inspiring speaker. We're super thrilled to have her as part of our keynote this year. We also have Haley Moss, who is an autism activist. She is brilliant. She's actually spoken at UAS before. We brought her back for this. Very impactful, powerful speaker as well. So we're really looking forward to our keynotes, for sure.
And Juliet, do you want to add anything to that?
I think the only thing I'll add is that specifically with Haley Moss, it was interesting because she spoke at UAS during spring break, right before COVID kind of hit the university and everything shut down. And so with the students away on spring break, many of them missed this session. And then with them not coming back, I think there was a huge demand to have her come and speak again in a way that they could view it and access it.
And so I think you already touched on the fact that the symposium is all virtual this year. Is that accurate?
Yep, 100%.
Excellent. So there's no real need for accommodating physical distancing or travel restrictions or things like that. Folks just need to log on and watch.
Exactly.
Juliet, what part of the symposium are you personally looking forward to the most?
It's always such a hard question. I think I'm looking forward to seeing our student speakers. I think this year we've got two or three student speakers, and they always surprise me the most, you know, because you work with them every day, or pretty often. I work closely with a couple of them, and I always surprises me how powerful their presentations can be and how much I learn from my students.
Yeah, that's lovely. How about you, Evan? What are you looking forward to the most?
We have a lot, a few sessions this year that are about Alaska Native students and how we can hold up our Native communities and sort of address systemic racism together from an institutional standpoint. So I'm looking forward to the different yet but sort of thematically related presentations in that subject area. And there are quite a few session proposals this year for just looking more into Indigenous themes across the board. So I think that'll be especially rich for the fifth annual symposium.
And Evan, what's been fun or challenging about preparing and coordinating this conference for the first time?
Well, there are a lot of logistics with it being all virtual, of course. Just we're lucky that we can space it out so that people could, if they had time, they could attend every single session. There aren't any that will be overlapping, but I guess the challenge would just be keeping all the logistics straight. And of course, figuring out how to promote and reach people and let them know what's going on without having that face-to-face interaction.
Well, we're happy we could help you out with that part of it, at least.
Thank you.
Yeah. Juliet, how about you? What's been fun or challenging about preparing this conference?
I think the fun part is also the challenging part. I love puzzles. I love figuring things out and making things work. And that's been the highlight of COVID, really. But for this specific conference, my biggest hurdle, and I hope I solve it, is making it accessible to the hard of hearing. We don't have a large deaf community that I know of, but I want the Native and Indigenous languages that our speakers use in their presentations to be captioned and transcribed. And so finding a transcriptionist and captioning people who are open to learning a bit of language has been more challenging than I expected. And I'm really kind of learning which vendors are open to kind of expanding. And it's been a fun challenge. And we'll find out in a couple of weeks if I'm able to solve it.
Well, that certainly is a huge thing, a huge obstacle for a lot of people who are hearing impaired. I'm sure that all these Zoom meetings are really difficult for them to deal with. So I'm glad that you're thinking about that. But that's a good segue into when the symposium is taking place. It's 2 days this year. What are the dates and times?
Sure. So we've got Tuesday, November 10th, and we added Wednesday, November 11th. Sessions start at 9 a.m. and go until 6 p.m. with a break for lunch.
And how can we sign up?
Absolutely. So if you go to our website, I believe it's uas.alaska.edu/privilege. There's a button on the website and it'll say register. Fill out the form and we'll get you pre-registered for all of the Zoom sessions so you don't have to individually register for those.
Sounds pretty easy. Well, Juliet Aldridge and Evan Gordon, thank you so much for joining me today and talking about the UAS Power and Privilege Symposium. It sounds like a really interesting event, very relevant and worthwhile right now. Is there anything else that either of you would like to share with our listeners before we say goodbye? Evan, I'll start with you.
Just want to encourage you guys to take advantage of this awesome event. And if you do have time to try to tune in. And if you're thinking about these themes and they feel like something you'd want to explore more, then, you know, consider submitting next year.
Thanks. And Juliet, you get the last word.
If you can, register for the symposium and you know, learn something new. See what our students are doing and what our community members are most passionate about.
That sounds great. Well, thanks again so much, both of you, for speaking with me today, and lots of luck with the symposium. It's coming up Tuesday, November 10th, and Wednesday, November 11th. It's virtual. You can go online to register. And I think that you've given people a lot of interesting things to draw them in. So thanks for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.